Glad to see everybody that's here. We do have some visitors, and so we're glad you came our way. And just to understand that, like I said earlier, our job is to help each other get to heaven. And the only way, as we read from the Bible, the only way we're going to get to heaven is by doing God's will. And that means we have to know what God's will is. And so that's why we're going to have some lessons on commands in the New Testament that we need to live by. I said in recent sermons that there's over 1,000 commands in the Bible, or in the New Testament, that is given to people. And to clarify this, there are commands that are given to specific people to do certain tasks, which I don't think I have listed in this list. But they don't apply to us anyway. When he commanded Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down here." I mean, how many of you climb a sycamore tree all the time? How many of you ever climbed a sycamore tree? I did, I've done it. But Jesus isn't going to come down and tell me to get out of that tree. So I'm leaving those types of things out. But we're going to cover a lot of these things because they're important. And a lot of times, people get the idea that, well, if I hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, that's all I really need to do. And they stop there. But there's 1,000 commands. And Jesus warns us about these commands. And we demonstrate our love to God because we keep his commands. As Joey just read, we keep our commands, and really the commands are not burdensome. Well, you might disagree with that. They're a big pain in the rear sometimes, aren't they? Because they interfere with what you want to do. And so that's why we have to focus on commands. Now, this is part one. You see, we have part one today. At the end of this month, we're going to have part two. The middle of next month, we'll have part three. And then the end of next month, we'll have part four. And then we'll have part five. And there might be a part six. Because there's that many that we're going to go through. You're just going to get a fraction of them today. And I'm going to limit my comments. I'm just going to go through and read it just like you're going to see it. Those of you who get my email with the outlines, you'll have all these verses. So if you try and write down all the verses, you may not be able to keep up. And then you'll notice some verses have multiple commands in them that basically don't do this, 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 and this. There's four commands there, really, when you think about it. So we're going to go through those, and we're going to go through it rapidly. We're going to get some things for you to think about. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Now, to demonstrate our love to Jesus, we've got to keep his commandments. In order to keep his commandments, we've got to know what those commandments are. So we're going to talk about this, and as you realize, we have a lifetime, the rest of our life, to get ready to meet Jesus. We would best be spending that time learning what he wants us to do and then doing. You know, James 1:25, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." If we want to go to heaven, we've got to be doers of the word. We've got to do these things. And if we don't do those things, we are doing nothing more than just occupying space. You're not helping God any if you're not doing anything more than that. So consider those thoughts. We're going to get into this. And like I say, we may get through this in about 5 minutes. I don't know. We'll see how fast we can go through it. Oh, y'all don't believe that, do you? We'll see. All right. We need to abstain from idols, Acts 15:20. We need to abstain from fornication, Acts 15:20-29, 1 Thessalonians 4:2-3. We need to abstain from strangled meats. Abstain means stay away from. Abstinence, we understand what that is. Don't do it. Don't do these things. Don't do idols, fornication, strangled meats, eating of blood, meats offered to idols, all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. We've got to stay away from that. As Christians, we've got to stay away from all appearance of evil. And that means we've got to be mindful of where we are. If you walk into a bar, you have given the appearance that you're there. The Bible says don't do that. We have to abstain from fleshly lust. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. And by the way, after this whole series is over, I'm going to print out the whole list. And anybody who wants one can have a list. Things we're supposed to avoid. That means stay away from. Same thing. We're supposed to avoid troublemakers. And yes, we know who troublemakers are sometimes. We're supposed to avoid profane and vain babblings. 1 Timothy 6:20. And we're supposed to avoid false science, people who make up. You know, global warming. Well, guess what? Every summer the Earth warms up. Up here in the Northern Hemisphere. And then down there they have summer in the winter. In our winter months, it's warming up down there. It's a cycle that God put this Earth through. And yes, it varies from time to time. But these people saying, well, man is creating this stuff. Don't do it. You ever see how... Yep, here's something you can try sometime. Go on to Google, okay? Go on to Google and maybe pull up Newark and look at it. And you see the layout of the city. Then start zooming out. And zoom out. Zoom out. Zoom out. Can you make out anything? No, you just see something right next to the coast. You lose sight of that. Man is so insignificant when it comes to this earth. Now, I really do believe man has a responsibility to take care of it. In other words, they cut down a tree, plant a tree. You don't put garbage into the water. You don't throw stuff into the water. Yeah, we need to take care of this earth. But man is not causing the earth's ozone layer to dissipate, which has already healed itself. Everything man warns about, says we're all going to die, hasn't happened. They've been doing that for hundreds of years. Something happens. Oh, we're all going to die. Just like all these viruses. Every time one of these viruses comes up, and strangely, they all happen to happen in election years for some reason. I don't understand that. But still, it happens. We're all going to die. Everybody's afraid we're all going to die. We're going to, millions of Americans are going to die because of this virus. When it's all over, you see the results. Have you seen the water rise anywhere in this earth? Not yet. They've been saying it's going to happen for years and years and years. And you can look at photos of San Francisco from 100 years ago. And you look out there and the water is the same level as it was back then. Somebody's not telling the truth. That's false science. Okay, I better get off my soapbox, or I'll be here longer than 5 minutes. Okay, unlearned questions. We're to avoid those things. Some people come up with some really goofy questions sometimes. Now, I encourage people to ask questions in class, and there's really nothing more stupid than a question that's not asked. I mean, so sometimes questions are kind of goofy, but guess what? We'll do the best we can to answer them with Scripture. And so unlearned questions, we're supposed to avoid those. Now, some people just don't know, ask, well, what do I need to do to be saved? That's not an unlearned question. That's a question someone realizes, hey, I don't know what I need to do. So, yes, we answer that. We give them what they need because we're commanded to. But sometimes people come up with, well, what about all those people who live between the cross and the establishment of the church who died? What happened to them? I mean, crazy questions that really do not even apply to us. Foolish questions. And we get those from time to time. And then, of course, some people rely upon genealogies. Back in that day, they did. Well, I'm a Jew. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm from this clan or that clan. And that's supposed to give them some sort of status with God. And after the New Testament, don't worry about your genealogy. You got to worry about you. A lot of us have parents who were members of the church. Some of us have grandparents. Mine go back 8 generations. Members of the Church of Christ. 8 generations. But all those seven generations before me has nothing to do with my soul. I'm responsible for my soul. So genealogies really do not mean anything in the sight of God. We all will stand before God. My grandpappy is not going to stand before God in my place. I have to stand before God, and you will have to stand before God. So it doesn't matter if your mama was a Christian, or your daddy, or grandpa. Question is, are you living up to your God-given expectations? Avoid arguments about the law. Of course, he's talking about the law, the Old Testament law. That doesn't apply anymore. So we don't have to make arguments about the law. They're really kind of pointless. Yes, we can see that what in the Old Testament, they had certain rules. If they broke the law, guess what? They got punished, and rightfully so. But then trying to mix the New Testament with the old law, that doesn't work. People are doing that today when it comes to the subject of divorce and remarriage. They start going back to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and saying, well, it's okay to do it. Moses said it was okay. Jesus said it was because of the hardness of their hearts that Moses gave that command. Now, we're to beware. We're to beware of false prophets. Yes, Matthew 7:15, because they're out there. We're to beware of people who have the wrong motives. We are to beware. Come on. I might. All right. There we go. Maybe that worked. Okay. We're to beware of leaven. In other words, and leaven, we're not talking about yeast. We're talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. Matthew 16:6-12. When Jesus said, beware of the leaven, the disciples were kind of confused. They had, you know, these, what kind of look is that? I mean, so Jesus had explained, it's the doctrine of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of Herod. Mark 8:15. The government. Government feeds us all sorts of garbage. We have to realize that. We can't take what they say at face value. We've got to investigate it. We got to beware of hypocrisy. And what church doesn't have hypocrisy in it? Covetousness, greed, idolatry. And then we have to beware of the scribes. These are the people who were the teachers of the law, and they weren't teaching the truth of the law. They were teaching their own philosophy. All right, we've got to beware lest you despise God and perish. Acts 13:40-41. We've got to beware of the dogs, which is a metonymy for false teachers. Philippians 3:2 and Isaiah 56:10, he describes these people as dogs. Dogs were not family pets back then. They were just kind of mutts that roamed around, and sometimes they were very dangerous. And that's why Isaiah talked about these people. They're like dogs. You know, some people today describe others as dogs. You know, the Islamic people, they describe non-Islamic women as dogs. They do that. All right, we have to beware of evil workers. There's people out there working evil, doing their evil. Carving up babies while babies are still alive. Cutting them up and just taking the parts out and selling them. That's evil. And the sad thing is too many people support that evil. It's wrong. The concision. Okay, the circumcision is what he's talking about here. And this really applies to Jews. I mean, then that's what it was meant for. It's meant for Jews. And of course, like I say, that doesn't apply anymore. God doesn't require that. But yet, you know, Acts 15, they had a big discussion about it, so they had to talk about it. We have to beware of being spoiled through philosophy. There's a lot of this going on. A lot of preachers today, they talk philosophy rather than teaching the Word of God. And they do these things. So don't get spoiled through this type of philosophy. Beware of being spoiled through vain deceit. There's deceivers out there. They're false. Every false teacher is a deceiver. And they are sons of Satan. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies. And so anyone who teaches a lie is a child of Satan. And we've got to beware of that, because they're here. And what the real warning is, remember, the New Testament was written to Christians. They're going to be in your midst. You have to beware of that. You got to make sure everybody is speaking the truth one with another. You got to beware of backsliding. You know what that is? The Bible talks about that. Instead of moving forward in your faith, you go backwards. In other words, you leave your faith behind and go back to what you were before you became a Christian. That's backsliding. Some people do it very rapidly. Some people do it very slowly. We're also told to believe. There's four things we're told to believe in the New Testament. Believe the gospel, Mark 1:15. We're to believe God's existence. There is a God, Hebrews 11:6. We need to believe on Jesus Christ, 1 John 3:23. We need to believe that God rewards a diligent seeking person who is seeking God, Hebrews 11:6 again. So yes, those are four things we need to believe. There's one thing we're told not to believe. Do not believe every spirit, 1 John 4:1. Why? Because that verse also tells us to test the spirits, to see whether they're from God. Because someone might stand in a pulpit and tell you something doesn't make it so. You have the responsibility to verify what they're teaching is the truth. The members have that responsibility, not the preacher. Preacher's going to get up and preach what he wants to preach. The members have the responsibility to make sure the preacher's preaching the truth. So you don't believe every person who stands in a pulpit. And yes, we can just start pointing fingers at the denominations and the progressive churches and see they're not teaching the truth. Do good to them that hate you. Matthew 5:44. You know, it's easy. We talk about this a lot of times. It's easy to hate someone. They make it so easy for us to hate them because of the way they treat us. But Jesus said the opposite. He said, do good to them. Difficult, but yet we must do it. Say, do to others what you expect of them. And what you expect of them to do for you. The golden rule there, Matthew 7:12, Luke 6:31. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Do violence to no man. Luke 3:14. Do good. I mean, Jesus went about doing good. We should be doing the same thing. Do good. Luke 6:35, Romans 13:3. Do this, put God first, and live. Luke 10:28. And then do all to God's glory. Everything we do is to be to His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Colossians 3:17-23. And we can add 1 Peter 4:11. That in all things God may be glorified. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. You know, a lot of times you get up there and the preacher says you shouldn't be doing that. You know what murmuring is. It's just talking about, oh man, why is he talking about that? Why don't you get off that subject or something like that? I mean, murmuring, disputing. Well, I don't think you have to do that, preacher. I'm just quoting what the Bible says. Now, if you decide you don't want to, you don't think you have to do that, take it up with Jesus. Do those things which were seen and heard in me. Paul said, "Be my example I set for you." You do those things. You do what I did. I was faithful to God. I've been preaching the gospel of God. I've been serving God the right way. Now you follow my example. Later on, we're going to have the bees be imitators of me, as Paul says. And then do your own business. Another translation, that mind your own business. Don't get into everybody's business. That's really not appropriate. And sometimes we don't want to know your business. He told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Now realize when Paul was giving his instructions to Timothy and Titus, he was writing to those individuals, but it was recorded for us in the Holy Scriptures, included in the Bible. That's for us too. We need to do the work of an evangelist. We need to spread the word, share the word. Doesn't matter if you're man or woman, you've got to do that. Now, in the organized church setting, yes, man has the responsibility. And it's not for women to do. We have the scriptures for that. But that doesn't mean that you cannot teach your neighbor. Doesn't mean you cannot teach a coworker. Does not mean you cannot teach anyone. And sadly, some women feel, well, I'm not allowed to say anything. No, you're commanded to say things. You're commanded to teach people about God. You're commanded to share your faith. The Bible says, do not alms before the people. Don't show off what you're giving into the coffers. And Jesus was talking about that. These people, they take their big money bags. Hey, look what I'm doing. I'm giving a lot of money. They're looking for their own glory. Next verse, he said, don't sound the trumpet when you're giving alms. I mean, that's between you and God. Do not do works of the Pharisees. Matthew 23:3-33. Remember what he called them? Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Don't do what they do. Now, he did give the warning before he started calling them hypocrites. Well, do what they say, because what they're saying is according to the law. But don't do how they do it, because they do it wrong. Do not love in word only. 1 John 3:18. Do not love in word only, but by demonstration of action. That's how we demonstrate our love. Do not give heed to fables. There's a lot of fables in this world. And sometimes we call these things conspiracy theories. They're fables. We don't know. Oh, well, the Americans blew up the Twin Towers. Yeah, okay. Let's get real. We don't know a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things our government does, we have no clue what they're doing. Does it really matter to us? Well, it shouldn't. Because what we've got to be concentrated upon is, what is my relationship with God? That's what we've got to be focused on. Do not give heed to genealogies, just like we talked a moment ago. And do not err. Don't make mistakes. That's what we're commanded. Don't make the mistakes. You know, John said to sin not. Don't sin. But if we do, we have the advocate. But do your best not to make mistakes. Are we going to make it through this life without making mistakes? No. We're going to make mistakes. But we have to own up to our mistakes. We have to acknowledge our mistakes and say, I need forgiveness for making that mistake. Sometimes we do it innocently. Sometimes we do it purposely. Either way, do not do it. Do not commit adultery. Specific sin that is mentioned several times in the scriptures. Don't do that. Do not kill. James 2:11, that's one of the commands. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. But then he goes on to say, but now if you don't kill, but you do commit adultery, you violated the law. You violate one portion of the law. You have violated the law. And so that's why we've got to make sure we keep all of the law. All of the law of Christ. Do not fashion self according to the former lust. The way you lived before you became a Christian, don't revert back to that lifestyle. Put it away from you. Get rid of it. We're commanded to follow. We're commanded to follow Christ. He is our example. He is our king. He is our master. He is the one who gives us the instructions. We're to follow Christ. We have all these passages that talked about that. We're to follow after love. What produces love? We've got to concentrate on that. How do we love one another? We show it to one another. What can I do for one another? That's demonstrating love. What can I do for God? Well, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus speaks for God. If we love God, we will keep his commandments. We need to follow after good. Those things that are good, we need to practice. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 and 3 John 11. And then righteousness, we need to follow that. the path of righteousness is what God has laid out for us in His holy word. He says, you do these things, guess what? You'll be righteous. You don't do these things, what's the opposite of righteous? It's wicked. God doesn't have a little neutral territory in there. He doesn't have a middle ground where you waver between one or the other. You're either righteous or you're wicked. One way or the other. Follow godliness. The things that are associated with God, that God would have us to do. Be kind to others and all of those qualities of God. Have compassion upon them. Follow faith. Yes, we have a faith. Stand firm and steadfast in our faith. And then we need to follow patience. And believe me, we all need patience, don't we? Some seem to need it more than others. And follow after meekness. Yes, we need to humble ourselves. And we need to follow after peace. 2 Timothy 2:22, Hebrews 2:14, pursue peace with all men. That should be our goal, to get along with everybody. And then holiness. Be ye holy, for your heavenly Father is holy. Told to us several times. Not only in Hebrews 12:14, it's 1 Peter 2 and verse 10 or 11, somewhere around there. We're commanded to lay aside. That means if you're doing it, you set it aside and walk away. We need to lay aside wickedness. If we're practicing, James 1:21, you set it aside. Don't do it anymore. You set it, lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies. All from one verse there. But we need to do that. The next verse goes on to say, but long for the pure milk of the word. See, when God tells us you put something away, He doesn't leave it there. You put on something. You put off the old self, you put on the new self. If you put something away, there's a vacuum, there's something, there's emptiness. We've got to fill it with something. And it's righteousness we're supposed to fill it with. Some people might put away all the bad stuff, all the evil speakings and all the bad things, but they really don't put on the good things. They think they're trying to be neutral. It's not going to work that way. Oh, we're commanded to keep some things. Keep the commandments. Oh, where would you expect that in a sermon? Keep the commandments. Matthew 19:17, John 14:15. Keep no company with the six classes of professed Christians there in 1 Corinthians 5:11. He describes these Christians, 1 Corinthians 5:11, and he describes them very well in all these things. He tells us to keep yourself pure. Keep the gospel commandments until Christ comes. Until He comes. That means continually. Keep the good entrusted to you. As he told Timothy, we've entrusted these things to you. He said there in verse 2, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the things you've seen and heard of me, entrust to those who will teach others also. And so, yes, we entrust to each other as we entrust to, like I said, to each other. What I understand, I share with you. What you understand, you need to share with someone else. Don't let it stop with you. Keep yourself from idols. Obviously, keep yourself in God's love. How do we keep ourselves in God's love? Jude 21. You keep doing what God wants you to do. Oh, here's a command to have. Have faith. Definitely. We can't argue with that one. Mark 11:22, Romans 14:22-23. Have no fellowship with darkness. Ephesians 5:11. Darkness. What is darkness? Anything that God considers sin is darkness. And that's what he's talking about. You stay away from sin as far away as you can. You don't support sin. You don't help them out. Have no respect of persons. 1 Timothy 5:21, James 2:1-10. You shouldn't be doing that. You're making judgments about people, and that's not right. Sometimes you, when you're thinking about who I'm going to share the gospel with, you look at someone, you size them up, and no, they're not interested, and you walk away. How do you know? You know, John 4:21 tells us that there are those people who are seeking to worship God in spirit and truth. How do we know God hasn't put us in their pathway to guide them towards that truth? Have honest conversations. Sometimes when you have an honest conversation, you got to tell the truth. We've got a thing I saw on Facebook that I shared. Don't worry about offending somebody when you tell them the truth. Worry about the harm it's going to cause if you don't tell them the truth. So have an honest conversation with somebody. They're living wrong. You got to warn them. You're lost. Your soul is lost. And you're going to pay the price for it if you don't change your ways. Have compassion. Definitely. We need to have compassion upon others. Because compassion is looking upon someone's situation with pity and realizing, what can I do to help them? That's what compassion is. When you see someone walking on the pathway of destruction, and you just ignore them and let them go, that's not compassion. You warn them. Now, if they want to cuss you out or something like that, well, that's it, but you've done your job. Our job is to warn people of their consequences of living in the wrong way. Have a good conscience. You know, Paul talked about his conscience. He said, I lived my whole life. Even though he knew he was wrong back then, he was still, at that time, very conscientious about serving God. We need to have that same type of conscience. Yes, we did wrong in the past. We still continue to do wrong from time to time. But we want to be right with God, so we've got to do this. And we're going to have a lesson coming up about our conscience. Let the conscience be your guide. That's next month. We're going to have that sermon. Let your conscience be your guide. But don't ruin your conscience. Have fervent love. 1 Peter 4:8. He's basically talking, have fervent love for your brethren. Got to hold some things. Hold forth the word of life. That is so important. Hold fast to the good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Hold the Christian traditions which they've been taught. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 and chapter 3 and verse 6. Hold to faith. 1 Timothy 1:19. You grab a hold of it, you don't let it go. Hold a good conscience. Yes, you're responsible for your own conscience. Hold on to that. Hold fast to sound doctrine. That's what we also need to hold on to. Much of this world doesn't care about sound doctrine. And people don't like it when they hear sound doctrine. But we're supposed to hold to it. Hold fast till Christ comes. However long it takes. We need to hold fast what we have. Revelation 3:11. We need to hold our crown. Revelation 3:11. We're going to have that crown alive, but only if we've been faithful. Revelation 2:10 tells us that. Hold the reputation of ministers. Hold them up in high esteem because they're trying to teach people how to get to heaven. They're not someone to be picked on and bullied. They're someone who's trying to help you get to heaven. And don't ignore them. Hold to eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12 through 19. Hold to hope. Hebrews 6:18. Hold to confidence. We need that confidence. Hebrews 3:6. Hold what is heard and received. If you've heard it from me, first of all, verify it. And if it's verified, then do it. There's three ways to live. Live peacefully. Romans 12:18. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Live free from anxiety and undue care. Yeah, fret not. Don't worry about these things. Do not be anxious. Live no longer in the lust of sin. 1 Peter 4:2. Don't live that way. We're to love. There's four commands to love. Love your enemies. Matthew 5:44. Luke 6:27. We're to love your fellow Christians. All those verses there. John 13:34. Love one another. love the brotherhood. Everybody in the church, we've got to show and demonstrate love for them and care for them and prayers for them. Love your brother. The person next to you, sitting in the pew next to you or behind you or in front of you. Everybody in this room. There's two things not to love. Love not the world or the things of the world. 1 John 2:15, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. There's three ways to love. Fervently, 1 Peter 2:22, with a pure heart, 1 Peter 2:22. We love as brethren, as we really care about each other. Does it always work out that way? No. We have factions. We have division. We have splits. Sometimes we have misunderstandings and dishonesty. We're supposed to be loving each other as brethren. We need to pray. One person to pray to. Pray to thy Father. Matthew 6:6. Three things to pray for. Your persecutors. For laborers to do God's will. And for one another. James 5:16. Two ways not to pray. Use not vain repetitions like the heathen, praying the rosary or something like that. Do not pray as hypocrites. Get your life clean before you start talking to God. There's three ways to pray. After this manner, pray. He gave them the Lord's Prayer. And then ask, seek, and knock. Include it in your prayers. Ask God for assistance. Seek to learn more about God and say, God, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. You pray in the Spirit, in a spirit of meekness, gentleness, and humility. We pray to God and we try and connect with Him. And we can connect with Him if we're living right. Put away wicked people from the congregation. We're commanded to do that. Put away lying. Put away all bitterness. Put away wrath. Put away anger. Put away clamor. You put away evil speaking. Put away all malice. Now here we put off. Longest 5 minutes you've ever been in, right? We put off the old man. Ephesians 4:22, Colossians 3:9. Put off anger, Colossians 3:8. Put off wrath. Put off malice. Put off blasphemy. Put off filthy conversation. Then, when you put it off, like I said, you got to put something on. Put on Christ, Romans 13:14. Put on the armor of light, Romans 13:12. Put on the new man. You put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6. Put on the bowels of mercy, Colossians 3:12. You put on kindness. You put on humility. You put on meekness. You put on long-suffering. You put on love. You put on the breastplate of faith and love, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And put on the hope of salvation. Five things to remember. Remember what you're saved from, Ephesians 2:11-12. Remember those who suffer. And yes, we do need to remember them, like those people in Tennessee who are suffering up there now. And of course, throughout the world, there's people dying of all sorts of things. People are suffering. We need to remember those who lead you, our spiritual leaders. We need to remember them and pray for them. We need to remember the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you can't remember it. So you've got to learn it and then do it. And then backsliding and repent. If you're backsliding, if you're not doing what you should be doing, you've got to repent. Eight things to think on. Things about your true self, Romans 12:3. Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things of good report, things of virtue. Think on these things, Philippians 4:8. One way to think. Think soberly. Keep your mind clear. A lot of commands here. And my guess is some of you didn't know some of these commands existed or didn't consider them to be commands. They're all commands that we are responsible to keep. So that's why we need to know our scriptures that well. These are just a fraction of all the commands of God. We need to learn and study these commands and make sure we are doing what God wants us to do. That is the only way we're going to get to heaven. Sitting there thinking about, well, I'm a good person, I'm going to go to heaven, that's not going to cut it. Doing what God tells us to do, that's what it's going to take. We had better do these things if we want to go to heaven. And the question is, do you want to go to heaven? I'm sure because of your presence, you have that in your mind. Because you're here, you say, well, I want to learn something to help me get to heaven. Well, we can tell you how to get to heaven. Keep His commandments. Now, He said that even back in the Old Testament days. The whole duty of man is fear God and keep His commandments. Respect God, keep His commandments. And God tells us to do something, we don't fluff it. Well, I don't want to do that. You don't pick and choose which ones we're going to do. Keep His commandments. To become a child of God just takes a few simple steps. Hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He died on the cross for your sins, to change your ways through repentance, and to stop doing those things that are sinful. Be ready, willing to confess Christ, not only before baptism, but the rest of your life. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my King. And I honor Him by doing what He says. If you can make that acknowledgement, then that's good. We need to be baptized for remission of sins. Then after that, if we fail Him, we pray and ask for forgiveness. And then we're commanded to learn, learn, learn. Where do you stand in this? Now, if you want to get started, we're willing to assist you. We have water available to baptize you into Christ. If you need our prayers, we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. Whatever the situation might be. So think about these things. And if you're subject to the invitation, we implore you to come forward and let us know what your concerns are. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.